The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's the cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
It does. It settles in your soul. Morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter.
Good morning. Hey, Travis. How you doing, buddy?
Oh.
Hey, good morning.
Is Travis here, the hat man?
Hat man.
No, not here. He's not here.
Okay, he's not here. Okay.
Then you look like Travis.
We can talk about him then.
Oh, good, good.
You're impersonating his voice.
Sorry. Here we go. Is that better?
Anyway, we're here this morning broadcasting live from downtown Reading, KCNR 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM.
In beautiful Jefferson.
Yes. And you can listen to us on your computer. We are podcasted and archived. We podcast all over the world. You can go to KCNR1460.com. That's KCNR1460.com. And if you have a question or a comment, you can call into 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. And we are here today with our guests, Krista and Martin Reed. How you two doing?
Doing so well. Thanks for having us.
I'm doing well. Thank you.
You bet. Well, I think we'll start with you, Krista. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get into some meat and potatoes here.
Sure. I am a young mom. I've got a one-year-old, and I'm excited we've got another one along the way. I'm also a high school teacher. I teach math at our local high school. At the moment, I'm home with little buddy. But absolutely love teaching. I love our youth. I absolutely, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else but working with them. They're so fun to be with. Even in teaching math itself, it's always been for critical thinking, for problem solving. I love the discussions with the kids. Just, they're my passion. So that's the short and skinny.
Second only to our family.
And Martin, you are a teacher at Enterprise High School, is that correct?
I am. I've been teaching English for about 9 years now locally. I started at Anderson High and then Shasta High and now Enterprise. I love it. I teach 10th and 11th grade, 10th honors and 11th grade college prep English, literature, rhetorical analysis, composition, listening, and speaking skills.
That's so great.
So you were forming the minds full of mush out there then. That's what you're doing, aren't you? You're trying to get them to think and do all the right stuff.
Yeah, yep.
It's my fault if they're not critical thinkers. So I'm sorry, America.
It's a big weight to carry.
Anyway, you two have taken a pretty interesting stand, standing for your liberty, standing against tyranny. We hear a lot about, you know, I will not comply, I will not comply, but actually, we will not submit. We won't submit to tyranny.
Right.
Anyway, Martin, tell us a little bit about your story, and what brought you to the point you're at now to where you're saying, hey, you know, this liberty is something we're not going to let you take.
Well, over the last 2 years, I've seen a lot of destruction in the educational system, starting with the three-month shutdown that absolutely hamstrung a lot of children in our state and all around our country. So they're behind from missing 3 months of school in 2019. And then we come back, and locally we did a hybrid school, so 2 days a week and then online for the rest for 2021 school year, the last school year. But most schools in California were shut down. They were all online. And if you're a parent and you've had to do distance learning, you know it doesn't work. So the teachers agree too. You know, I'm on your side.
100%.
I'm on your side. It doesn't work. The kids need to be in face-to-face instruction for them to succeed.
Not to mention all the relationships, the activities. For many, being in school is their safe place.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, they're trapped at home, required to do stuff online. They don't have their friendly neighborhood teacher on their back to complete all their work. So everything is just, it's a landslide going downward fast.
Yeah, and there's a lot of single parents out there who are like, what am I supposed to do when I'm at work and my kid's at home doing distance learning? And, you know, I was a pretty good kid growing up, but even I would not have stayed focused on 6 hours of schoolwork a day. I would have played Xbox.
I know I wouldn't have.
You know, I would have watched TV. I would have not done my schoolwork. And that's what a lot of kids did. They didn't do their schoolwork. So I saw that happen. It was a tough year to teach. I struggled to have rigor in my classroom. Not to mention, you know, all the mask policies, which I think really put a damper on them emotionally. A lot of kids were very quiet, almost depressed throughout the school year. It was hard for me to get class discussion going. And as an English teacher, I thrive on discussion.
Yeah.
We have to discuss every topic. Even when we're doing composition, we discuss claims and evidence and thesis statements. And discussion was really, really difficult. First of all, we were in hybrid, so our class sizes were cut in half. And then kids were all masked up, so they're socially distanced. How do you have a conversation with someone 6 feet away that you've never met and that's had a mask on for the whole school year?
Can I add in, too, as teachers, I started this school year pregnant, and it was nearly impossible, really impossible, to remember kids' names.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I could pass them in the hall, and it was heart-wrenching to say, oh, hi, how you doing? And then they would turn to me, oh, I just saw you in class. Like, it was just gut-wrenching to not have the personal relationship to build with the kids because I just couldn't recognize
them. And with each other.
And with each other. Yes.
That's so important.
So isolating. So these critical relationships where even just one good relationship with a teacher could be so powerful, they're just missing out on all of that. So.
Yeah, and every school year, and this is my ninth year, I always memorize every student's name within the first 2 weeks of school. Sometimes I forget a few down the road,
sure.
But within 2 weeks, I know their names. And the last year was very difficult.
What was the tipping point for you? What was the point to where you said, okay, enough is enough, I'm going to put everything on the line here?
Well, I kind of naively assumed that, okay, after the vaccine comes out, the adults will take it, and then we'll take off the mask, we'll go back to normal. And I thought, you know, if you look at the data, children are not at risk, not at high risk at all for COVID. And zero children in Shasta County have died, and fewer nationwide have died than the flu. The CDC has that on their website. They just don't talk about it. So I figured the reason why we're doing all this must be for the adults, right? Not the children. Must be for the adults. And once we have the vaccine, the adults can take it, and we'll go back to normal. And that was naive. So when it came out, a lot of the adults got it, and then we continued with these measures. And then over the summer, they announced, I think, the end of July, well, whether you're vaccinated or not, everyone has to still wear a mask at school. Mm-hmm. And I wrote a public letter then, which was ignored, just advocating for mask choice. And then when Newsom announced that all children, all school-age children, will be forced to take this vaccine or do distance learning. So either take the vaccine or do distance learning. That was it for me because I knew the data. I knew that in Shasta County, zero children have died of COVID. I knew nationwide, fewer than the flu have died. I knew they're really not at risk. And we just had a podcast that we started yesterday with four local doctors and a nurse. And they all agreed we should not mandate vaccines for children. And they all agreed.
This particular vaccine, yeah.
Yeah, this one. And they all agreed that the number of people in the United States who have already recovered from COVID is far higher than the CDC admits, probably close to 40 or 50%, which means half of our children locally have already recovered from COVID and they have natural immunity. And all these doctors on our podcast yesterday, they all agreed that natural immunity is far superior.
I wonder why we don't test for that.
That's one of the issues they brought up. They brought up that
control
the CDC and the FDA should be testing and doing all this research on natural immunity, and they haven't been from the beginning. So for me, that was it. This is not logical. It's not a logical policy. It's coercion. It's force, control. And so I wrote another open letter on October 3rd and sent it out. And that was forwarded all around Shasta County and went on social media too. And I basically just advocated for, again, for vaccine choice and for us as a community to stand up against government control. And that letter kind of sent our lives into a whirlwind of good things, but it's been a little crazy the last month.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a minute, but I think that one thing that really struck me is the fact that and a lot of people haven't talked about this until lately, and that is the pharmaceutical companies have no liability. So would you buy brakes from someone and put your kids in the car and drive down the road and the brakes don't work and you get into an accident and everybody gets hurt, and the response of the company that sold you the brakes is, well, that's luck of the draw, you know, we're not responsible for it.
But the brakes are 100% safe and effective. Right?
If that's what they say.
Yep. Yeah. That's what they
even
say.
Even though you got in the wreck and your brakes didn't work.
And though the federal database on VAERS says that there's a federal database, VAERS. It's let me look it up. It stands for...
I know the way a lot of people would solve that is just buy more toilet paper.
Yeah, you can see it. Yeah. Vaccine Adverse Effects Reporting System. It's been around since 1990, for 30 years. So for 30 years, this government database has tracked any adverse reaction to vaccines. And the average associated deaths with vaccination per year is about 400 or 500.
Wow.
Between 400 and 500 per year, right? Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that a vaccine caused a death, but it's associated with it, right? So someone dies within a few days or hours or maybe a few weeks of getting a vaccine, and a nurse or doctor thinks it's linked, so they report it. That's what happens.
What's the definition of a vaccine, being an English teacher? What is the actual definition of a vaccine?
You're asking the wrong person. You probably need to ask a medical professional. But so for 30 years, the average reports have been 400 or 500. And then if you look on this government reporting system, in 2021, the number jumps up in U.S. alone to over 8,000. So we have 16...
Could you say that again?
Over 8,000.
400 to what?
Over 8,000. So we have...
Wow.
In the last year...
Wow.
The data shows in the last year there's been an increase of 16 times the amount of reactions associated with death to vaccination. So if you're looking at the data, and we talked about this on our podcast with the doctors yesterday, and they said it's all very concerning and we should be investigating this. If you're looking at the data, you have to ask why. What changed between 2020 and 2021? We got a new vaccine.
And vaccine is probably not the appropriate word, because the vaccines of the past, they underwent years of trial.
Well, I know that even in the professional sports world, the New Orleans Saints couldn't even field their coaching staff, who were fully vaccinated because they all got COVID.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and then you have the San Francisco Giants. They couldn't even field the pitching staff at one point for starting pitching because they all had COVID, yet they had been vaccinated. That's why I asked the question. Because to me, it's a little confusing when you stop and think about something you're supposed to take that doesn't help. And how come homeless people don't get it?
Right. We're at our borders.
Right.
So, I don't know how we got on.
I wanted to do that just because I wanted to see your reaction. But anyway, go right ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't know how we got on that rabbit trail, but
it's easy.
Yes.
The data shows that we should not be mandating this. It should be a choice. And I keep mentioning our podcast. If you guys want to listen to it, you can go to schoolwalkout.org and you can find it there. Or you can find it on Spotify, Apple, or I believe Google too, under Unite the Fight. But the doctors who discussed the VAERS database, they're all very concerned about these mandates.
Sure.
Because there are adverse reactions. No matter what the media says, there are adverse reactions, and they may be rare, but they're 16 times more common than ever before.
Hmm.
At least. And there's a study that says between one and only between 1 and 10% of adverse reactions are ever reported to the VAERS database. So you can estimate that maybe between 10 and 100 times more adverse reactions are actually occurring than what's reported. Now that's just an estimate, but the data is clear that we should be looking into this. We should be hesitant.
I noticed in your letter, because you went off on vaccines quite a bit here, and I noticed that's why we went down that trail.
Right. Sorry.
But anyway, the real deal is when you talked about education, and you talked about, I think what Krista, what you did at the Board of Supervisors was so impactful. You had your baby. You addressed the Board of Supervisors here in Chester County. And in doing that, the thing that was really impressive about it was the fact that you kept leaning over. Your baby was in a backpack, and you leaned over, and you showed your baby, and you were talking about how you wanted the baby to see your face. You wanted the baby to know his mom.
Yeah.
And I think that's really something. And I know that a lot of this has been the mask. Do you want to elaborate on that? That was just a really...
Sure. Sure. As a mom and also having had some child development classes, I know that it's important for babies to have this bond with their parents. And that's from seeing their expressions, from seeing their face. It's close proximity, even as their eyesight is developing, and yet babies are being born with moms in masks, and then are toted around throughout the city with people in masks looking at them. So they might hear a voice, but they're not seeing the expressions. So something that I brought up was that I made the choice, though there was an existing mandate, I refused to wear a mask because I knew that it would cause harm to my baby. And it came at a cost. It wasn't just that, well, I'm just going to disregard that and it'll be fine. It came at a cost to me. I would run into people, absolute strangers, verbally accosting me, saying things, rude things, calling me names, using language I would never want my baby to hear. Being turned away from businesses that I would frequent often.
And we stopped shopping at several businesses.
We did. It was unbelievable.
Yep.
I remember coming in with my stroller. It's kind of a hassle, as moms know out there. You're carrying all your different paraphernalia, and you're finally out, and you're like, let's go in the store. We're going to make this quick. And then just told, boom, no, you can't be in here. You need to wear a mask. And I remember telling them, my baby needs to see my face. I don't want to hide my face from my baby. And there were a few who kind of paused and kind of gave me a curious expression. But then there was this also a response of, that's just the rule. That's just our policy. And you just can't shop here. And what is so clear is that it is a disconnect from humanity. Mm-hmm. Just, I'm no longer a mom with a baby who's doing what's best for my baby. I'm now suddenly a threat to society.
Right.
That is just absolutely ridiculous.
Everyone, in the last 2 years, everyone is guilty until proven innocent, which is un-American. We are innocent until proven guilty. And so you can't walk around assuming that everyone out there has COVID and is going to spread it to you and is intentionally trying to hurt you. That is absolutely contradictory to American philosophy of innocent until proven guilty.
And I think one of the things that you wrote, Martin, that really stands out to me in your letter, and that is it's a matter of choice. You weren't condemning anybody whether they wanted to be vaccinated or not want to be vaccinated.
Yeah.
They want to wear a mask or not wear a mask. It really is about the choice.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that the mandates are unconstitutional, but as one young lady told me at one point, she said, why do they keep doing this? Because we let them. We continually let the government and let them do it. There's a couple things in that letter that you wrote, Martin. Is there a couple things you'd like to touch on? We've got about 6 minutes before the break, if you want to touch on some of those.
Well, let's see here. Let's talk about kind of government control over parents and how the government has taken the place of parents. Slowly in our society, but
attempted to.
Yeah, and there's been a big leap forward over the last 2 years of the government taking the place of parents. So I wrote a paragraph in there I think resonates with quite a few people out there, and I say in my letter, now many parents are being forced to buy something they don't want for their children to protect them from something that's not really a threat, because we went over the data, COVID's not really a threat for children. And something many of them have already recovered from very quickly. And yes, they are buying this product. Vaccines are not free. They're all taxpayer funded. Mm-hmm. So we have to get out of that mindset of, free things from the government. Nothing is free in life.
We are paying for it.
We're always paying for it. We might not pay for it through taxes, but we will pay for it through inflation.
And social services that we're going to have to provide for all the vaccine-damaged people that it occurs to.
Yes.
So all the wild discussions of natural immunity are fact-checked. If you can believe it, fact-checkers actually have the audacity to fact-check natural immunity. They fact-checked Mother Nature.
So what did they find out?
they found out that they're pawns.
Yep.
And studies are ignored that show natural immunity is more effective than vaccination. There's 81 and counting studies showing natural immunity is better than vaccination. Hmm. They're just ignored. CDC just ignores them. So why? Why do we do this? So it will assuage the fears of strangers, media pundits and politicians and celebrities, and many people who have conflicts of interest and bias and who haven't spent a single second of their time actually feeding, bathing, clothing, comforting, or loving the children they intend to force make this personal medical choice. It should always be the right and responsibility of the parent to make medical decisions with their children, because there is no human on earth who loves them like their parents. Parents pour their blood, sweat, and tears into raising their children every day. And parents are the only humans innately designed to put children first, not the government, parents. Why do we keep giving more power to the government and less power to the parent? So that's one paragraph of my letter. And if you want to read the whole thing, you can see it on schoolwalkout.org.
Perfect.
Yeah, I think that, you two, it was very evident. We were all in a meeting the other night. I noticed that, you had your baby, and when you weren't holding baby, Dad was holding baby, and it was really neat to see that, And I think that this whole movement, so to speak, has resonated a lot of young people to wake up and say, hey, we live in a position of tyranny. Yeah.
Well, how would it be if COVID was spread by puppies? How would that be perceived by the general population? They would do everything in their power to protect those puppies, right? Yeah. They would still take them out, get them fresh air. They would still take them out, and they wouldn't wear a mask so they could have a facial expression like you're talking about. Mm-hmm. What's the difference? They're both young. They need love and nurture. We need to take care of them. I mean, obviously, we put people ahead of that, but people would be going absolutely crazy if it was puppies that were causing this to happen.
Well, we've been consumed by fear.
Absolutely.
And fear controls the part of your brain.
It's easier to go there than it is to stand up and be firm.
Once you're afraid, your brain is incapable of making logical decisions.
What about comfort zone?
Agreed. Mm-hmm.
I think comfort zone's a lot of it, too, because I think a lot of people just are comfortable with it. I mean, for a long time there, a lot of people just were sort of living their life. I mean, when my wife and I were younger, and we had five kids, and so when we were younger, we were invested in everything from school, I was a booster club president for Liberty Christian, and my wife worked there part-time just for fun. And anyway, we were so invested in what we were doing, we just sort of weren't paying attention. And I think that a lot of it now is this great awakening of people really paying attention. And one thing I want to get into, and just right after the break here with you two, is what do you hope to accomplish?
A lot.
That's a platitude.
That's the plan.
Okay, so what we want to do is, specifically, I think that a lot of things, when we look at something and we start something, we get it going, it really is, what are the meat and potato things we can do?
Right.
What can we actually do? And I want to talk about that after the break. And the other thing I want to talk about is what action, not only what do you hope to accomplish, but what action can folks take that you guys have taken probably in some cases, and what advice can you give them? So we'll go off to that break there, Travis. And time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Look Pico Manufacturing Company presents How People Make Things at Turtle Bay now through January 9th. Explore this new and interactive exhibit where kids can learn firsthand about the tools and processes used to make objects that we see and use every day. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
Well, I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and price right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Make this New Year's Eve a night to remember at the Reading Garden of Life. Featuring two stages of live music, food trucks and bars throughout the gardens provided by Mosaic, all surrounded by a magnificent holiday light show. Tickets available at turtlebay.org.
Am I the only one here tonight? Shaking my head and thinking something ain't right. Is it just me? Am I losing my mind? Am I standing on the edge of the end of time? Am I the only one? Tell me I'm not. Who thinks of taking all the good we got and turning it back? Hell, I'll be damned. I think I'm turning into my old man. Am I the only one willing to bleed?
Apparently not. He's not.
Doesn't seem like you're the only one, buddy.
Nope.
We are here with Martin and Krista Reed. Martin is a teacher at Enterprise High School. Mm-hmm. And Krista was, and now is a mom, and going to be a mom again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You guys.
That's awesome.
Number two on the way.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Living the best life.
Number two on the way or
number
two on the way?
Number two.
Yeah. Do not say that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind. We had like five, and it's like, you know, after a while, you know, you sit at the dinner table, you got to try to find a place to sit. You know, like,
you
where's the TV
food?
Trays? Which one are you?
Do you live here?
I was tough on the boys, though. You know, which one are you? Apparently, I can make one whenever I want. Behave yourself. Martin, so the thing that we want to get into a bit is that, you know, what do you hope to accomplish and what action can folks take to regain their liberty, their choice? What actions do you believe that they can take?
Well, first of all, as an educator, I believe in education. I believe information is powerful. And what has hamstrung our society is the censorship of information, and the corruption of the mainstream media. And we need to find a way, however we can, to get informed ourselves and help our neighbors and family and community get informed. And that's one of the reasons why we started our podcast, is to help people get more informed. And when people are informed and educated and they understand the situation, then they're empowered to go do something. If you don't have information, you're just directionless and kind of making claims like, well, I don't really know how dangerous COVID is, but this is my opinion. But when you have it backed up with information, when you know, This is what the science says. And when you know, these are what the logical experts are saying, not the experts that are bought and paid for. The logical experts, this is what they're saying. Then that empowers you to be bold, be courageous, and go make a stand in your community. So I think the first step is already happening. People have woken up to the fact that they cannot trust the mainstream media any longer, and they're finding new sources of information. Some of them are good, some of them are not so good, but they need to be informed and educated in order to be activated.
Now, are you being encouraged by fellow teachers? I mean, I know there's probably a smaller group, but overall, is there a large group of teachers, or what are we looking at with the
Depends
teachers?
On your location.
Yeah, it's, I mean, in our county, I think 2/3 of our county is red, but that's just an estimate. Higher education, though, is slanted blue, slanted left.
Mm-hmm.
There was some study,
even the private Christian school here.
Yeah, I believe.
Some university.
Yeah, universities, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Some study came out years ago that said 80% of all high school liberal arts teachers are liberal. So they produce more people who think like them, which over time has an exponential effect on our society,
mm-hmm.
right? And those people go into education. Those people go into business and become, for lack of a better word, the leaders of our society. Personally, I think the blue-collar workers are the leaders. The other ones are just the ones, I don't know, that are somehow put into leadership position.
Exactly.
But so yes, higher education is slanted left dramatically, which means secondary and elementary education over the decades has become more and more slanted left. So I'm sorry, I forgot your original question.
Well, I was just wondering what kind of support you were getting from fellow teachers. Is it
they're afraid? I'll get some texts and some individual emails here and there. And there's a good group at Foothill High School who are pretty tough, and they're fighters. And there's a few at Enterprise and maybe a handful at Shasta.
Afraid of losing their jobs?
They're afraid of speaking out. There's peer pressure. There's
peer pressure.
And part of it is, going back to the information thing, they don't have all the information. They are busy professionals. They're dedicated to their students and their task of educating their students in their discipline. Mm-hmm. And they have families, and they don't have time necessarily to go dig up all the statistics on COVID, mm-hmm. and they don't have time to find the truth because the truth has been hidden from them.
Nor do they want to stir anything up among their colleagues who
they're good
you
people.
See every day. We want to be on good terms.
Uh-huh.
So we have people who love peace. They want to get along. They don't want to cause waves. So even if they're seeing something that they disagree with, this is in general because of cancel culture, because of our society that has suddenly become the police of what you can and cannot say or believe.
Yeah.
There is a lot of shame. There is a lot of danger in speaking freely what you believe if it does not line up with the narrative or if it does not line up with the loudest or most popular opinion. It's just we have not honored and respected free speech.
Absolutely. So that's a huge problem. If anyone was to get up in one of our staff meetings and just explain why they disagree with a certain policy like masks, there would be an uproar. It's like people don't have the ability to listen to someone else's opinion and say, okay, I disagree, and then calmly and rationally debate or discuss it.
Or ask a question. Can you tell me more about that? I don't understand.
What's the science behind that?
So they didn't take critical thinking.
It's more than just critical
thinking. They didn't take debate because debate 101, that's what you do. You listen to everything, form your opinions, and you also gather your information as quickly as you can.
But remember, we've got these titles. You've got conspiracy theorists.
That's right.
So if you fall under that category, you're that crazy person.
Yeah. That's just another title to for people to speak the truth.
It's a gag.
That's right. It's a lie. And and people are swallowing that pill, and they clearly haven't come to the line in the sand that's been drawn. Mm-hmm. They have yet to fail to draw the line in the sand that they're not willing to cross or have crossed toward them. So you have, and rightfully so. But they haven't yet. So what more are they willing to lose and sacrifice in order to be at that line? Are they willing to lose their home? Are they willing to lose their car? Are they willing to lose their job? So
many teachers in our county are. Many teachers are, and right now, and many of them say their line in the sand will be the vaccine mandate, and I respect that. I understand. So they're tough people, but
and it's staff. We've got strong people. Already have office staff who've quit. Bus drivers. Mm-hmm. It's just people who serve our kids.
Right.
They kids are the priority, but also their own health, their own conscience.
Right.
So there is this climax of coming up to that line in the sand and having to decide, am I going to stay true to my conscience or whatnot?
But to get to that point, they have to fight through the malaise of propaganda that has been spun around this whole thing. You know, you Google anything and the first five pages are all fact checks.
Right.
That are mostly false fact checks.
Right.
And
DuckDuckGo.
Yes.
Well,
exactly.
DuckDuckGo doesn't even help that much. It helps a little bit. Yeah.
It filters some of it. Yeah.
But so I feel for people because I spent a year and a half researching. We didn't have a kid for much of that time. Researching and reading and digging through all this information, and that's what empowered me to go speak out. But they have many of these other educators have families, and they don't have extra time to go dig through the lies of the mainstream media.
Well, and neither do the people that are actually doing it on the front lines.
Right.
They have families. They have businesses. They have all these other things.
Right.
But they find time, and that's the thing. For people to say they don't have time, I'm sorry, because we've been doing this since 2013. I find that
I'd like to weigh in on this.
Because we've been doing it all the time for 7 days a week for years.
It's a priority thing. When the fight comes to your front door,
right?
There you go.
You can't hide from it.
There you go.
The wolves are at the door.
There you go.
The wolves are at the door.
Absolutely, Chris.
What do you do?
That's exactly right.
You lock and load. Are you ready to go? And as soon as they step in the door, you let them have it.
Yes, you can educate like crazy, but education without action is useless.
That's right.
You know, Thomas Jefferson said that the price of liberty is eternal vigilance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had people thank me for things. Now, we pay for this program. We pay this radio station to be on here to do, so we don't get money for it. We pay to do it. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. That's the way that radio works.
Just the way it is.
It's the way it is. You either pay for your program, you get advertising, something like that. That's the deal. Every so often you can get a freebie, but that's the deal. So, point being is that, you know, educate, and mm-hmm. we have to do that, but you have to have action behind it. And, you know, it goes back to the same old thing. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. Unless you have a situation where people, it affects them. Yeah. I saw what it did to you, Krista, holding your baby like that and the strength you had. That was your bottom line. This is my baby. I'm going to have more babies. We're the parents of this child, and we will make the choice until that child's capable of making their own.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a lot of it. I think that, I think the other part about that is the fact that we have to start believing that we have a stand here. I think we need to be educated in the Constitution and the rule of law.
Absolutely.
Because without that, you know, you can say all you want, do all the platitudes you want, give all the opinions you want, but, you know, in a month or 2 months, that's not the flavor of the month anymore.
Right. There has to also it's this ownership too that not only we have a part to play, we have a responsibility to be involved. I think of if as you're learning and what you see, that action that needs to be taken, it could be like we're doing, starting this podcast, becoming your own journalist.
Yep.
It's sharing information. It is action. It does. It has to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is your action. Mm-hmm. Your line in the sand has been crossed. That is your action. You're going out there and you're... Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's all leading to all these things happening, and you're doing multiple things simultaneously. So clearly, you're able to do it. You've got a family. You're both teaching professionals, and you have life going on. So you're able to do it.
Right. Yeah.
So for others to say that they don't have time to do it, sorry.
Right. Well, again, it's
like, it's just a hurdle, but maybe not an excuse.
Yeah.
Don't wait for it, though, to hurt so much that you are drawn into action.
Right.
Because it's going to get to a point where it hurts so much that you can't help but act.
Well,
and
you know,
it's better to work.
Yeah.
To get into it now.
Right.
I think of we've been going to these board meetings. So a big way for our society to take action is to go to school board meetings, board of supervisor meetings.
Right.
Listen in on what's going on. Listen in on those agenda items.
Yeah.
Speak up and share your concerns and watch how they respond to you as well.
Or lack of response.
Or lack of response.
Yeah.
So the public needs to know about school board meetings. You can go speak at a local school board meeting even if you're not in that district, even if you don't have kids in that district. So go to the district website, I think there's 28 districts, 27 districts in Shasta County. Go to the district website. They're legally required to post on there their date and location and time for school board meetings and agenda, and you can make public comment there and bring your friends.
Which is it's uncomfortable to speak up, but I tell you, we went to these board, we've been going to these board meetings recently, mm-hmm. and it is so powerful as parents, as community members are sharing from their hearts what they're experiencing, be it an adverse reaction, what their kid is going through. There was a teenager who shared about how traumatic it is for her and her friends to be in this place in society. Mm-hmm. It was powerful. Mm-hmm. So being in this environment, you're able to make connections, able to stand together. There's this amount of unity and influence, and you'll be able to see, too, are my leaders going to listen to me, or do we need to boot them out of there?
You know, right. And we went to a school board meeting on Monday, hosted at Central Valley in Shasta Lake City, and one of the teachers got up there and asked, hey, how many of you in the audience, maybe 200 people there, 200-300, how many of you in the audience are educators here in this district, and how many of you will lose your jobs because of these mandates? And I would say 20 to 30 people raised their hands.
Ooh.
And the board saw in front of them, they will no longer have a staff,
mm-hmm.
a functioning staff or a functioning school if these mandates go through. That's what we need to do. We need to show them as a community, parents are going to take their kids out of school, teachers, bus drivers, they're going to quit.
They have to quit. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
We cannot comply.
They're going to be fired, actually, not quit. They're going to be, they're going to
Right.
be illegally fired.
Illegally fired, exactly.
Something you wrote in your letter here, which I really impressed me. What will happen if hundreds of Shasta County educators get fired over this? New York had to declare a state of emergency after firing over 70,000 healthcare workers. Do you think that the government is creating a healthcare crisis so they can reestablish the state of emergency? Because remember, a state of emergency mm-hmm. can only happen when the threat overwhelms the county resources.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're doing any of that intentionally, but it will certainly happen. And I can't speak to their intentions, but I do know politicians.
Although they look ugly.
Yeah, I do know politicians. Politicians are under immense pressure to get quick fixes, and as a result, they make terrible decisions. That, you know, we had this COVID thing happen in January of 2020, and all of a sudden, it's Trump's fault. Or, you know, they look to politicians to solve it all, and it's a very complicated issue. And I think as a result, a lot of politicians make bad policies and decisions because they're trying to appease the masses, or maybe they have bad intentions, but they're doing dumb things.
Well,
we can agree on that.
It's all about jurisdiction. See, again, if you don't know the law, it's the jurisdiction they have.
Mm-hmm.
The Board of Supervisors in Shasta County could say we no longer have a local state of emergency. That's within their jurisdiction, yeah. as Glenn County did it, as Butte County did it, as many other counties have done it. Also, the thing is that they're really looking for the money. So I'm not totally.
Yes.
And yes, I think they know what they're doing. I mean, we've been at the governor's office. We sat down with Congressman LaMalfa doing a podcast. We were with him. We're going to have a meeting and do a 3-part podcast with him. But we've talked to all these guys. This is done by design. Make no mistake.
Right.
These people just aren't stupid and are just trying to muddle their way through. You know, many people that are in elected positions do have a background of understanding what they're getting into.
And they also have their own agendas. A lot of them have other aspirations. They're using their local political position as a stepping stone to go elsewhere, or just,
sure.
or they're seeing it as a gravy train just to be where they are. They know that they're going to get the money from the state. Well, how about this? Why don't we reel it back and use the money that we only collect within the tax base of our county?
I 100% agree.
And only use maybe 80% of that.
Yeah.
That way, always have a contingency fund. Always, always, always.
Right.
So when things do come up, you're able to afford to fix yeah. or repair or whatever you need to do, or hire staff if necessary. Yeah. But is it going to be painful to fix that? Absolutely. It's going to be painful. Are we going to lose staff positions? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Should we? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
All those things need to happen. And that all comes from a forensic audit. You're a numbers person. Guess what? Those numbers are they're not going to lie. They're going to tell us exactly what needs to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
So those are the kind of things that we need to have here locally in Shasta County for the entire county so we can get this stuff back under control so that we can say, to the governor who was doing this stuff to us, go pound sand. Mm-hmm. And that's our elected officials' jobs. They are supposed to interpose mm-hmm. between we, the sovereign citizens of Shasta County, mm-hmm. and the state mandate and the state edict that keeps coming down. Those are the mm-hmm. things that absolutely have to happen. They need to have the intestinal fortitude to do the right thing and step up and say, not my people, no way, no how. Because they're our representatives. That's what they're there for.
Do you want to talk about the San Joaquin Board of Supervisors?
You're talking about Tom Patty?
Oh,
so yeah, they, the San Joaquin Board of Supervisors, voted to not enforce the right. mandates in their mm-hmm. public buildings, right?
Right.
And I've also heard that they're going around, the Board of Supervisors are going around to some of their school board meetings mm-hmm. and saying, hey, we voted as a Board of Supervisors not to enforce these mandates. That gives the school boards a lot of encouragement to vote the same way.
Right.
Our Board of Supervisors could have done that, and they can still do that.
They can still do it on Tuesday. They can say, hey, guess uh-huh. what? We're going to tell...
They refuse to.
We're going
to
tell the school boards of Shasta
County... Three of them do.
...that they need to not do this. Let's just do it. Let's do it right. All these school board members out there, you guys need to carry the same mm-hmm. same torch that we are doing right here. They could just say that in an open public meeting and be done.
You know what else they could do? They could direct their public health officer to investigate the... mental health crisis our kids are undergoing mm-hmm. because of the lack of education, because of the quarantining, because of the masking, and determine, they can ask her to investigate and determine what are the risks and rewards of the current policy, and if we change the policy, would it have a better outcome for our children? They can tell her, they hire and fire her, they can tell her to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
In essence, you're a million billion percent right. We have a conference call with Butte County and Sutter County and Yuba County on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be on that conference call about all of this stuff. And, you know, the idea of having a position of saying that we can't intervene between the school boards and the state, of course, because
right.
Article 20, California Constitution, they took an oath to uphold the California Constitution and the Constitution of the United States.
Yes.
And in Article 3, Section 1 of the United States, the California Constitution, it specifically states that the state of California recognizes the Constitution of the United States of America as the supreme law of the land. And California is an inseparable part of that, which means that anything in the United States Constitution trumps, no pun intended, mm-hmm. trumps the California Constitution. And in Article 6 of the Constitution of the United States, it specifically states that everything has to be done with your oath or affirmation of your oath of office, which means that the Board of Supervisors can do that. We have a caller on the line. Lori, what say you?
Good morning, everyone. Yeah, real quick, there's two things people can do to get involved after this show concludes. Your guests are right on it, spot on. Congratulations on the next one on the way. Here's where people can get involved. It's at the California Freedom Coalition every Thursday night, 6 to 7:30 p.m. They cover seven pillars: the church, the government, education, business, media, family, and entertainment. There are different circles, groups, groups that you can kind of float through and get connected, so you don't have to be a victim, you don't have to suck your thumb, you don't have to go into a panic attack. That's the first place to go locally if possible. And the big news, too, we now have, Children's Health Defense. That's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. We have a chapter ambassador named Allison Murphy, and she was there last Thursday to announce that. So, folks, we are making traction. We are not going to be victimized by this abuse and overreach. And yes, Mr. Modi, you earned and deserved your recall. And you don't think we're after Rickert and Joe Comente? Think again, folks. No, this is why the Board of Supervisors is just one avenue. And that's just what I wanted to say is that, look, the troll haters are in the chat room. I've been there for the longest time. Yeah, recall four. Ban him, Travis. It's not just tumbleweed and Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, I'll be in the chat room. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Lori.
You know, I think, Matt, you hit it on the head, too, when, you know, you talked about how we have to get these groups going. But the main thing is, and Krista, when you said, you know, you've got to get involved in the school board meetings, both mm-hmm. of you talked about that. You've got to get involved with the Board of Supervisors. You've got to get involved in your city council. And not only that, but you've got to cross-pollinate with other counties.
Yep.
And that's something that we've been doing. Now, the one thing I wanted to bring up about that is when you had mentioned that, you know, you need to get involved. Folks, when you go to these meetings on Thursday, you go to any, or you listen to this, and you see these two young people, I'm just saying that because I'm old, so I can call them young, but these two young people that are standing up, they're standing up for their liberty, you just don't go have ice cream and go home after these meetings. You get up the next morning, and you go do something. You go and you fight. Yeah. Remember, you have to fight for this, and this is something we all have to be involved in.
And so getting networked, you meet people at these meetings, and you hear somebody speak, and you like what they had to say, you can walk over and talk to them after the meeting, or even during the meeting sometimes, if you're quiet enough. You know, sometimes people do that. They'll connect then. But you just get connected to people, so that way whatever your passion may be can also help them with their passion, which is growing the passion for what we're trying to do.
Absolutely.
And keep things going.
Yeah, another – here's a simple way to – here in Shasta County, Freedom Fridays, we have been holding signs on the corner of Hilltop and Dana Friday evening for medical choice, freedom to choose.
Yep.
This isn't a political thing, really, or like a, you know, it's not a Republican versus Democrat. This is just, we want choice.
We
want
liberty.
We the people. It's bodily autonomy. It's very important. So a simple way to get involved, we have families coming and bringing their kids, grandparents, young and old, coming to the street corner. Hilltop and Dana, holding our signs.
3:30 p.m.
Yes, we put it back an hour because of daylight savings. So 3:30 until 5. And it has been so fun. Mm-hmm. And people who come, it is rewarding because, first of all, you're making a statement.
Right.
You are doing something. You're taking action. You are letting the community know that there's something on the line right now. Mm-hmm. And so people who are unaware can see. And it's fun to hear the honks. There are tons of people who are so supportive.
That's awesome.
And that's something that people need in this time of cancel culture because there's this illusion of being alone and isolated and who's on my side and just feeling powerless. But that's not the truth.
And it's people from all walks of life.
It is all walks of life. So coming out and holding some signs or even arranging it with your own community, it's really powerful.
Yeah, I think it is. And the way we take our country back is we the people, is each individual citizen stepping up and doing something, finding a way to do something. We're always, well, in the past, we've been too passive. We've been looking for someone to save us, some politician or some Supreme Court hearing ruling to save us. And if you've noticed, our entire society has been corrupted. From family to government to the arts to media to businesses have been controlled, healthcare. And how do we take that back? We can't, one person
and
can't do it.
And churches have been apathetic.
Right. Uh-huh. And so people all across our nation in every community in every county have to get active, and it's going to be a little uncomfortable. We're going to have to get through the peer pressure and anxiety, but the more you step out, the more you realize there are patriots out there who are encouraging and they got your back.
It's civic responsibility is what it is. And, you know, they don't teach that anymore in school. I mean, I remember when I was in high school back in the 70s that we had a civics class. And I remember my instructor, who was very old at that time, taught that. Mm-hmm. And because they came from the old school and they taught it. But a couple of years after that, that class was gone. So I remember that very vividly, you know, especially now with all the stuff going on. It's amazing what you can recall from 40-some years ago, you know, when you're having a recall on what's going on. So it's scary, but you're right. It's scary, but do you know at the same time? It's necessary. Mm-hmm. We absolutely have to get out there and do it. And you're fighting for your family.
It's exciting,
though. It's absolutely critical. And
it's
exciting
because we have hope. It's exciting.
Yes.
We do have hope.
We've been here with Krista and Martin Reed.
Thank you for coming in.
And you guys are amazing. Come back again. You guys are amazing.
Thank you for having us.
And time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
It's not our bill. We had no say. You don't serve us. You serve LA. The time has come for 51.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life. Your health. Your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.